told me via text today that there was a question I was supposed to ask you guys right at the beginning, and I cannot for the life of me remember what it was.
How we got into cycling.
How did you get into cycling? That's the question. Okay. Mike, we got to ask that question first.
Okay. I'll remember.
How you guys doing today? That's it?
I'm fantastic.
You're fantastic. How are you, sir?
A little hungover, actually.
Yeah, you guys, last night was interesting. I was getting text messages from you guys that made no sense whatsoever.
Well, we told a friend that we were going to be on your podcast today, and he got very upset and said we didn't deserve to be on it and that he should be on it. So I did. Boy.
I think I sent you the video of the guy that wants to be on the podcast.
With the story of the bull.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, we want to have him on. He's Sean, right? That's his name?
Oh, yeah.
No, that'll be exciting.
He's a crazy mountain biker.
Yeah, it sounds like it. He's a friend of yours?
He is.
Yeah.
Most of our friends are a little crazy.
present company excluded.
They say you're the average of the 10 people you hang out with the most.
So oh, shit.
That tells you something.
That's awesome.
All right, so we always start with trying to figure out what your nickname is. Matt, do you have a nickname? And if you don't, we're going to give you one.
Other than that?
Yeah. No nickname?
No.
No? Really? No nickname. All right. We're gonna come up with one during this podcast. Do you have a nickname?
I do not have a nickname.
I have a nickname for you.
Oh, good God. I'm afraid.
You're not going to like it very much.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
Okay. So here's a nickname. Misery Business.
Misery Business? Why?
MB?
Yep. Misery Business. That's the title track from a band called Paramore. And I think that Chantel looks like the mom of the girl that sings in Paramore.
Oh, wow. So there you go.
I'm just glad that MB didn't stand for massive.
Matt's going to Google the mom of the lead singer of Paramore.
Just look at the lead singer of Paramore and tell me that she doesn't look like Chantel. When I first met you, I was like, huh.
Really?
The lead singer of Paramore is quite attractive. So I get the connection.
See, there you go.
Haley Williams.
Haley Williams, yep.
All right.
Or we could just call you Haley, if you like that better than Misery Business.
You can call me whatever you like. I usually respond to everything.
Oh, is that a frame? There. You see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she looks good. I wouldn't have put that together. Not have put that response, together.
All right. Do we have a nickname then for Matt?
Oh, God. We're going to have to wait for him to talk, and something's going to have to come out naturally, because I don't have anything off the top of my head that wouldn't just be straight up offensive. So let's wait and see what comes out of the conversation.
I call him Maddie.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Why not?
That's not a good nickname.
No, it's cute. Sweet.
Everyone, okay, it's cute for you, but maybe not for the podcast.
Okay. Don't call him Maddie.
How did you guys get into cycling? Oh, wait, we should probably introduce you guys. So who the hell are you?
So I'm Chantal Swager.
I'm Matt Swager.
That's it. That's all we get.
We are the Swagers.
Swagger's not a bad nickname.
So I guess Swags. I guess that was
Swagger. Okay, Swags. I actually like that. We're gonna stick with Swags and Misery Business.
No, so the kids. To be fair, the kids' friends all call me Mama Swags.
Mama Swags.
That's a great nickname.
Mama Swags and Papa Swags.
No, Matt's nickname by the kids is Frat Star Matt Swager.
Frat Star? Okay, so Frat Star and Mama Swags. Those are good names. You guys do have nicknames.
We're really ready to come out.
I mean, we got Charles to go with Turtle, although he refused to tell us why.
Well, you can ask Matt later of why he's called the Frat Star.
Oh, you won't tell me now?
When I go visit the kids at college, I get into...
You get into it? You go back to when you were a kid and you start...
Yeah, we were at the box yard for Parents Weekend a few years ago. They set up basically a big trash can full of water, and then you get dunked upside down. And if you do it for, I can't remember how long, 30 seconds, they pull you out, you chug a beer, and then you're best friends with the bar owner for the rest of the day.
Okay. There were ice cubes and water.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, so it was cold.
I did that. So I was the bartender... Our owner's best friend all day. We had free drinks the rest of the day.
No one else would do that? That doesn't sound like it's...
No, people in their early 20s did it, but not Matt's,
Nobody over Frat 30 Star. That I saw.
Frat Star can't be stopped.
Frat Star can't be stopped. All right. The Swags, the Swiggers, the Swaggers. How do you say it? Say it again.
Swagger is
Swagger,
how you say it.
Swagger. Yeah. You think I'd know that by now.
But it's so close to swagger. It's just...
Just let it roll.
Natural. Yeah.
Just let it roll. Natural. How'd you guys get into cycling?
So do you want me to go first since I started cycling first? So about 10 and a half years ago, I was in spinning like nonstop. 7 days a week, spin, spin, spin. I loved it. And I had this instructor, Troy, who asked me if I was going to do El Tour de Tucson. I'm like, no, the only bike I get on is in the spin studio. He goes, you got to get a road bike and do El Tour de Tucson. So I'm like, you're full of, like, crazy. And then in August, he brought it up again. So I went to the store and I bought a road bike and I trained for 10 weeks and I did El Tour de Tucson, which was insane. I had never been at a start of a race and the whole thing was crazy, but I finished. I never rode with other people.
What distance did you do?
Wow.
100 and...
Oh, so you did like the long one, like the no shit, the real one.
The big deal, yeah. Wow. 6 hours and 27 minutes.
Come on with your bad self.
Nice.
Yeah. Have you done it yet?
No.
The tour?
No, I just got a bicycle like a year and a half ago.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Before that, you were just spinning also? Spinner swags.
We got bikes when our kids were little, and we had a kid rack on the back. We'd strap a kid in, you could ride him around the neighborhood.
Yeah, just family cruisers.
Family bike. That's all I ever did. So,
have you guys always lived in Tucson with your kids?
Our first kid was born in Pennsylvania, but for the most part, yeah.
And you're from Pennsylvania.
I am.
Right on. I didn't
grew up
know.
On a farm. Not a lot of space for bicycles on the farm.
Not a lot of space for bicycles on the farm. Seems like there'd be a ton of space for bicycles. Are you being sarcastic? Am I just not picking up on it? Yeah, this is good. This is good. Perfect. Thanks, Matt. Thanks. What, Frat Star? That's what we're saying?
Yeah.
Frat Star. Yeah. Foxtrot Sierra. I don't know. Frat Star. We got to come up with something.
I had some cousins who lived on a farm in Pennsylvania. 8th grade, we went out and visited. It was one of my favorite vacations ever. The highlight, though, was two things. Was we would take long grains of whatever they grew and put them on the electric fence to see how long we could hold them because they had cattle and other things. So that was fun. And then the second was a place called Ohio Pile. Do you know where that is by chance?
Hang on.
All right.
I've got no experience with an electric fence. It sounds like you two do. Tell me a little bit more. What happens when you put like something that's long that they grow on an electric fence?
I watched Ren and Stimpy and they said, don't whiz on the electric fence. So I knew that much. However, when you take a, like, whatever, conducting material, and you put on an electric fence, and, it, you know, you get the jolt, like the cow would, and you see who could hold it there the longest.
And it zaps the crap out of you?
Yeah, it gets you good, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I never intentionally interacted with the electric fence, but I've been hunting. I've been trying to crawl under it or over it and may have accidentally...
Got zapped?
Gotten a jolt or two.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's not crazy. It just sucks.
No, it gets your attention, but...
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing running down your leg afterwards or anything like that.
I guess it depends on what you're into. I don't know what you're actually referring to. Oh, you're saying you would urinate. I'm sorry. I totally misread that. All right. So you had the family cruiser here in Tucson when the kids were little, but now you've got a big boy bike.
I do. I got a nice specialized road bike.
Yeah.
Love it. I couldn't tell you what it's a Roubaix X. I don't know. It's French. Whatever. I don't know.
It's probably important to explain that Chantel actually speaks French.
I do.
Can you pronounce Roubaix for him?
Well, it's actually, I can't remember how it's spelled, to be honest, but it's the road. It's named after the road that they finished the Tour de France on because it's so bumpy, and this bike was designed to absorb shock.
How
so it's supposed to be very comfortable.
How is that?
Allie Roubaix?
Yes.
Oh, very well done. How does that bike absorb the shocks more so than a...
Okay, so we're going to be honest with you.
They don't
we
know.
Are not your technical
they
people
don't know.
On
they
the
have
show.
No, okay. They have no fucking clue. Okay. He can't even pronounce the name of his bike.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm the...
Get him at a frat party and he's got it.
The front has, there's some shock absorbing element in the stem.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The handlebar stem. Yeah,
that makes sense.
So that's nice. Yeah, nothing in the back, though.
They call that the cobbles, right?
Right.
That's what they call that road you're coming to.
Cool.
So, yeah, I mean, we got that bike and we like to ride when the weather's nice. So we are fair weather riders outside. And yes, we do still spin on the Peloton.
And I have ridden with you guys one time.
That is
correct.
Remember,
we met on the loop, and we saw like at least 7 people doing heroin during that ride.
Not too hard. I feel like that was a low hit on the day.
It was.
Yep, a lot of possibility.
Yeah.
Our favorite rides involve a stop somewhere.
Stop at a bar.
Or brunch, you know. But we like to do long rides, 55 to 60 miles.
Okay.
So, a lot of fun there.
But you're still doing the Peloton as well. You do it as well?
I do, yeah.
Right on.
It's fun. I love the classes. It's fun to have somebody tell you what to do.
Who's your favorite trainer? Do you have one?
Gosh. I like Matt Wilpers.
Yeah.
He's fun. He's good at doing the power zone training.
Yeah.
And he's fun. I like his playlists. And
Have you taken a functional threshold power test?
Yes.
Yes.
What's your FTP?
I couldn't tell you. You're, again, technical.
Well, you just took the test. You said you took it. It's 3 numbers.
I don't remember.
It was like a year and a half ago. Sakes. Maybe I need to take a new one.
You probably need to take a new one if it's been a year and a half.
Isn't that the whole point, like to take them at regular intervals?
Pretty frequently, yeah, so that it can adjust.
Nobody told me that.
One and done.
They actually did tell you that, and they say it in training all the time.
All right, we'll take a note, Matt.
Matt's looking up his FTP now.
I'm going to look it up, except my app is signed out. So.
So here's a really interesting thing that I learned. So Lacey took it. Did I already tell a story in the podcast? I can't.
Yeah,
remember.
About her weight.
Yeah. So it's not just your FTP; it's also your weight that makes a difference, right? So my functional threshold is way higher than Lacey's, but weight to power to weight ratio, she's kicking my ass. So, yeah, makes a difference how heavy you are.
For sure.
Wait. Let's just let it be awkward silence for a minute.
So no, there's like every 8 minutes there's an awkward 15-second silence in a conversation.
Is that true?
Some like statistics.
It says.
Are you just making that up? Are they going to have to fact check that?
Yeah, we get a lot of shit about not fact checking stuff.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
We're working on that part. But to Matt's point, some conversations have more awkward silences than others.
Yeah.
Ooh. Right?
Yeah.
Depending on who you're talking with. But yeah, 8's probably a good average.
I would say it's a well-established fact that pause occurs.
It's a well-established fact. In my experience, I've experienced awkward pauses in most of my conversations. That you could stand behind.
Is it because people don't know how to respond to you?
Me? No, people not.
That has nothing to do with it, Chantel, and you know it.
All right. Just checking.
It's got to be somebody's turn in the conversation to speak, and they just miss their turn. That's got to be what it is.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Man, hit the nail on the head.
I can say it's never me being at a loss for words.
So we're 13 minutes into this podcast. We haven't even told the people why we had you guys on. We just introduced you. We know that he likes to do frat party stuff and that you're mama swags or misery business. Now, you know, like half the listeners are going to go look up the singer from Paramore right now to see what you look like. Maybe we should include a picture of these two in the show notes so they can compare and people can tell me whether I'm full of shit or not.
There you go. Yeah.
The picture that you showed wasn't a good resemblance, though. There's been some other where they looked very similar. I was like, oh, God.
You can do side by side?
I did. I actually have done that.
That's weird.
Actually, I think I did it. I think I did it in a staff meeting you weren't at.
Oh, thanks, Josh.
So this is a company headshot. So it's like a professional photo.
Who knew?
Apples to apples, right? Yeah. I mean, that's
with your big old giant smile. You had like the biggest smile in the world in your company headshot. I'm like,
I'm the only person that was happy to be there.
Yeah. All right. So you guys did a really interesting trip in August of 2021.
Yeah.
And you guys used a company called Backroads and you did a tour of Portugal. So we want to talk to you about that a little bit. And I thought, I'd just like to be or like to understand or know like how you found Backroads, how you got into Backroads, like from the beginning.
Yeah. So there's two companies that we research, Trek and Backroads, that put on kind of these organized tours where you really don't have to do anything but show up.
Like Trek, the Trek bikes, that same company.
Yeah.
They tour. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do tours too. And so those were the only ones that we actually looked into.
Okay.
Now I'm questioning.
No, there are many others, but those are the ones we focused on. Sure.
So, you know, we knew we wanted to go to Portugal. Okay. So we kind of reined it into that.
Why did you want to go to Portugal?
It was one of the countries in Western Europe that we still hadn't been to.
Okay. I haven't been there either. It's not like it's not on your first list. I think it's
going to be. Oh, it should be. It should be on everybody's first list.
See,
it's one of my favorite countries of all time.
Why?
People are the nicest people you will ever come across. Wow. Like super, just generous, kind. It's really beautiful. The food's not fantastic, but I mean, there's a lot of seafood, but there's a lot of heavy potato stuff.
Huh?
It's like Poland so it's like, in that way. A lot so of
it's like Russia and Greece mixed together into one country or something.
Well, food maybe. I guess that's a stretch, but we'll go with it. Well,
if it's, I'm thinking potatoes and a fish. That's like you know.
Wait, isn't potatoes Irish?
Yeah,
but in Poland, everything
potatoes are South American.
Oh, here we go.
Wait a second.
You're going to get weird facts here. It's true, though. He knows everything.
It sounds like it. You said South American?
Potatoes come from South America.
What, like originally? Yes. Like they were imported from South America?
Absolutely.
So like, okay, Russia, who makes their vodka out of potatoes. You're saying they didn't have potatoes before it came over from South America?
Correct.
Oh, fact check this shit. I don't know. Yeah, fact check. Is this true?
Right. Yeah, it's true.
Is this really true?
Absolutely.
Wow. You're going to learn some stuff.
How did they get from South America to Russia?
Well, the Spanish Portuguese explorers went to South America and brought them back.
Okay. I mean,
it's the Columbian Exchange, as it's called.
Columbian.
I think we're getting off topic.
No, but Columbian Exchange means something else to me. So I'm
trying to think. Well, nowadays it might be different, but that's
it's had a different meaning since the 1980s.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So looking into these companies.
Yeah. Trek and Backroads. Thanks for bringing us back.
Right. Yes. Backroads they'd released this bike trip through the Douro River Valley. And as soon as I saw the pictures of the Douro River Valley and kind of the Matt will go through the itinerary with you. He's got it all memorized, I'm sure. When I saw the pictures, I'm like, this is perfect. We can go visit Lisbon, Porto, and then do this, you know, the back roads is really named because their whole itineraries are on back roads.
Oh, cool.
So you're not going on any major highway. Like you're not in major thoroughfares at all. And they use the Eco Pista, which looks like a rails to trails sort of situation.
Okay.
So we were a lot of times on soft dirt paths. Okay. And then, you know, then we were on designated kind of bike roads. And then there were times where we were on roads, but they were small country roads, right? Yeah. A lot of elevation changes on the trip.
So you guys didn't feel like, you know, any concerns about cars or anything like that when you're
there? No, not at all. And it's nice. You have one person that rides with you.
Okay.
And then there's somebody that runs the support van. So,
and how big was the group of people that were riding?
There were eight of us, excluding the two guides, and which was that was a very small group.
Okay.
But it was in COVID, right?
Yeah.
2021 summer, right? We're still having to wear masks everywhere. And so it was the first time that the other group had traveled since COVID had started, and they're big Backroads people. So it was us and one of our friends, and then these five solo travelers that actually had met 10 years before on a Backroads trip. And now like
they're no longer solo.
They meet.
They mate.
They meet.
Okay. Sorry.
They may meet too. I didn't know what was going on. Since four of them were women and one was a guy, I guess he's getting lucky. But yeah, a very awkward group of people. So this is one of the things I would like to talk to you about signing up for a group trip.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, before we get there, what made you choose? Do you remember what made you choose Backdoor Over Trek?
The Backroads?
Or Backroads Over Door.
Yeah. It was really the itinerary that they offered. And we do have a number of friends in Tucson that do Backroads trips every single year in the US, in Europe, in Canada. And they spoke very highly of the professionalism of the employees and the itineraries. I mean, it is literally, you do nothing. You show up to the appointed place.
Yeah.
They have everything set up for you.
And it's a pretty pricey. We were checking it out earlier. It's like $5,000 a person.
Yeah. It's not cheap.
Not cheap.
But
that's all inclusive everything.
Correct. Yeah.
How many days?
It was 5 nights, 6 days.
This was like upscale. You stayed at the nicest hotels.
Yep.
You ate at the nicest restaurants.
And is that all they offer from Backroads, or do they have different levels?
No, they have different levels.
So they have something for me.
They do. I'm sure they do.
Do they have like a 1995 option? Like
the camping tour.
I don't want the $5,000 option. That's too much for me.
You should do it at some point. It's all 5-star hotels.
We're super. Yeah, Lacey and I totally want to do it. Once everything with us is just in time. So like last night we were researching Backroads and I was actually like snooping on you guys' Facebook and going back. I had to go back to figure out it was in August and saw your pictures and then all that kind of stuff. And I was showing it to Lacey and she's like, oh, we totally got to do that.
Yeah. I found myself when I was researching, I almost clicked on the save this date right here. It looks so fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more fun than you can even describe. And so, I mean, do you have any thoughts on
how, yeah, well, like, how did this happen? Yeah.
I'd love to talk about so many different aspects of the trip, but
I'd like to, where was your head at when you guys were deciding this, or was she just telling you what to do?
Well, you know, I'm not a serious cyclist. So my head was, what do you mean we have to climb 8,000 feet a day? You know, I thought that sounded like a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of climbing.
You know? Yeah. So yeah. I was a little trepidatious about it, but yeah, we got on our bikes and was riding a lot, doing the Peloton, getting some good training in, getting a base.
There was a decision that was made a couple of weeks before the trip.
Yeah. So do you want to disclose that decision right now?
Yeah. So a few months before, our friend coming with us called us up and said, "Hey, I don't want you to be surprised, but I switched to the e-assist bike." I'm like, "What? We're not e-assist people. I've never been on an e-bike of any sort."
Right.
So I'm like, we can't do that. And then, you know, 2 weeks before the trip, Matt's like talking about, you know, it's like a lot of elevation and I really want to enjoy my vacation. So I called and switched to the e-assist bikes, which was the best decision I've made in a couple years. We didn't actually end up using it that often, but when you did, it was nice to know it was there. Right. And yeah. The other aspect of it was you rode in the morning, you do a ride, you'd stop for lunch, usually some wine.
Okay.
And then you would ride in the afternoon. The three of us were the only ones who were able to do both rides every day.
Because of the e-assist.
Yes. So everybody else just bailed out and got in the truck.
In the afternoon.
After some wine and a good lunch. Yeah.
I'd say
for a siesta.
We also probably took more advantage of the wine at lunch. And then we're like, yeah, we're riding.
Well, speaking of the wine, that's one of the things of Portugal, isn't it? The Porto or whatever the traditional.
The Vino Verde yes. And then Porto. Yeah. Yeah, that's the, you probably know some more about how wines. Port is created.
Yeah, port, you know, during one of the many wars between Britain and France, there was a blockade and the Brits couldn't buy wine. So they couldn't buy the French Burgundy that they loved. So they went to Portugal and started buying the port. And so you go to Porto, where it's from, or where it's exported from, at least.
Is that what it's named after then?
Yeah. And all the merchants in Porto have these English last names. So you're looking around like, why in Portugal do all the port merchants, vendors have English last names? Well, it's all because of this history where the Brits came in and kind of took over the wine export industry there at the time. I don't know who owns it now, but
interesting.
So is port like, what is port? It's like, I've had like a dessert wine that's port. That's like, is that what we're talking about here? Are we talking about something totally different? I know shit. Yeah,
you can drink it as an aperitif.
Okay.
Or after dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like super sweet. Yeah. Kind of thick.
It's like a fortified wine is how I would describe it.
I don't know what the hell.
Yeah. Fortified.
Aged.
Okay. Aged. Yeah. It's thicker though, right? Thicker and sweeter.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
And you don't drink it in large quantities.
Not if you don't want to have a hangover the next day.
Oh, really?
It gets you a bad headache. Yeah. The sweetness.
All the sugar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But it's nice to have, like, it's a like sipping. It's really good with prosciutto and cantaloupe, actually.
Not as good as Rocky after a meal, though.
Oh, you and the Rocky. That stuff is like turpentine.
I don't know Rocky.
Oh, you don't?
I don't think I do.
Well, tonight we'll introduce you to it. Because they brought me a bottle back from Greece, and we still have some.
If you drink enough, you'll be likely to forget.
So. Maybe that's why I don't know.
Yeah.
You mentioned the food before and lunch, and this is not a Freudian thing here, so and I'm speaking frankly, pun intended, but I love sausage as much as or more than the next guy, but Portugal has got some really good sausage. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all, I mean, that region.
What? Yeah. Portugal and sausage?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
seriously?
A thing.
That's yeah, a thing?
That's yeah, a thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And dried cured meats as
really?
Well. Right.
Oh, you're blowing my mind right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywhere you have a lot of mountains, you have goats and, you know, people make sausage, like Corsica. And
okay.
But was really, yeah, but what was really interesting from like going back to the wine piece, sorry to cut you off on the sausages. No.
Was in the, he loves to talk about meat sticks. Anytime we're together, that's all he wants to talk about.
I don't know. Maybe it's you. Was that why it was a Freudian slip? Probably, I don't know. Yeah, exactly it's getting why. Awkward.
Yeah, that's why.
So in the Douro River Valley is the Vino Verde region, which is this like crisp, fresh white wine that's not meant for aging. And it has some effervescence to it. Mm-hmm. Delicious. Mm. Oh, it's fantastic. So, you know, part of this trip, we really treated it as our vacation. As, you know, we try to do one adventure trip a year. And much to Matt's chagrin, he's like,
you don't like the adventure trips?
Oh, they're great.
Okay. I love them.
Yeah. He just gets told we're going and he's in. He's supportive. But yeah, so he's like, we don't always have to do an adventure trip.
You should until yeah. you can't anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
There'll be a time when you can't do it anymore.
But what was fun about this was we got to combine our passion for wine and cycling and fun. And it turned out we just developed a passion for making fun of these five people that we were with that were awful to us.
Oh, Jesus. Are you sure you want to publish this?
Oh, my gosh. No, it was. We'll keep their names.
They were awful to you?
They acted like they were on a private tour. So this is the thing that you got to think about when you go on a group trip. Like all levels and what people are trying to get out of the trip mm-hmm. is going to be different. Like I shared with you before this, we went on this hiking trip this summer. Mm-hmm. The three other people that had signed up for the trip were expert hikers. And they were funny. They'd be like, oh, the Americans did not train. You know, they'd make kind of jokes about it. I mean, we all finished the hike in the same yeah. amount of time and did it, but I would say they were better prepared for it. We were looking at it as like a bucket list
adventure. Yeah.
They were looking at it as like how fast they could complete it and knock it off their list of hikes around the world. It was just different intentions. And so when you go on these group trips, you really have to have an open mind that everybody going there is going through something different mm-hmm. and has different expectations for the trip. Their expectation was they hadn't seen their group in a while, because during COVID, they hadn't been able to travel. And so they just wanted to be together. So like we'd show up for the group dinner and there'd be a table for five and then a table for three.
Oh,
and we're like,
it's not a community.
So did the guides sit with you guys?
Yes, they did. Yeah, and that's
they would rotate, like, right? They tried to be no favoritism among yeah. the guides.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. They were not bad people. It was just kind of weird. Mm-hmm. We're like, what's going on here? So it's something to think about when you sign up for a group trip. That's something, it's not for everybody. So you got to think about that.
So it sounds like you've been to a lot of other European countries on your travels.
Absolutely.
And is this the best way to see a country is by bike, do you think? Or does it kind of depend on the itinerary and the country?
I absolutely think it was a great way to see the country. And the reason why is when you're in a car, even when you're hiking, you're looking at your feet and the terrain the mm-hmm. whole time. When you're on a bike, you're able to really look out. Yeah. I mean, you're looking around anyway for safety reasons, right? But you're really able to take in the scenery. And then, you know, we'd stop from time to time when we saw a vista that was really attractive to us. I mean, what do you think?
You know, and sometimes we didn't stop when we saw a vista we liked. And I wish I had a video of it. Chantal taking videos of the beautiful scenery while she's
one hand on
steering
the
bike with one hand. And our friend and I are like standing next to each other, looking at her like, you know, oh my God, for safety's sake, like this cannot continue. We're very worried about her safety. But
so we're not going to use the friend's name on this podcast. Is that what we've decided?
Oh, my friend Amy, who came
yeah.
with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
oh,
fine.
You said her name. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like this mystery person. So that's
the friend.
The friend. Our friend.
But the other five people, I know all their names and I'm not telling you.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
But I will say one of our guides, Eduardo, who is often featured on the cover of Backroads magazine, mm-hmm. was fantastic. Like knew a lot. You know, he's from Portugal. He'd travel all over the world with Backroads. He was very worldly and just awesome. Just an awesome guide.
So as guides, they kind of tell you about the culture, the people, and share that. And that would add, I would imagine, to the whole experience.
Absolutely.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Eduardo was, you know, I think he was a history major in college. So he really had a
You guys
deep
kicked it off. You obviously have a deep love for history, right?
We did enjoy talking with each other about it. And, you know, I just don't know. I didn't know a whole lot about Portugal. I kind of intentionally didn't research it. I kind of wanted to enjoy it.
Just experience it there.
Kind of experience it for myself without the preconceived notions about it. But yeah, Portugal's got a really cool history and going back to Roman times that we know of. And but he really really enjoyed telling about his culture, loved his culture, really just
very passionate. Sort
of the passion was terrific.
It didn't help that he looked good in spandex too.
Oh Jesus!
That's how I got in the cover. Come
on, I got a question. Okay, I got a bike related question to you guys. So I've been cycling for a long, contrary to how I look, I've been cycling for a long, long time. And one of the things that I really like to do is I like to get people that don't cycle into cycling. And so, like, you hear us talk about Punk Rock Dan mm-hmm. McInnes. We're getting Dan into cycling right now. And, like, I rode with him this morning. Every time we go, he crashes. No offense, Dan. I'm sorry. He crashes a lot. But he's figuring out. And there's so many people that we've taken through on this journey. And many of them are still, like, avid cyclists today. So one of the things that we always talk about, everyone at the beginning says, hey, I want to get a seat that's, like, really comfortable. Right? And the truth is you don't want a big ass seat because that gives more points of pressure. You actually want a small seat that in everybody's tailbone and sit bone is different. And so everyone needs it. There's a different saddles, but I was inspecting y'all's bikes from your pictures on YouTube and y'all had big ass saddles with the big ass gel things on them. And I'm trying to figure out how you rode those bikes for 5 days with those big ass seats on there.
We ripped the gel pads off the first day.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and you're right. The rest of the seat was padded, a little bit wider than what my
bike would normally have.
But you didn't really have any other options, so
they couldn't.
You could bring your own seat, but
we didn't think that far ahead.
Well, we brought our own pedals.
We did. We ordered pedals on Amazon like a week before we left. I was like, sweating it, hoping they arrived in time so we could use our normal.
Yeah, in the future, if you ever need bike parts, just let me know.
All right. Okay. We've got some extra pedals. We have some pedals. They're for resale.
So did you guys, I mean, that's cool to rip the gel seats off. That's what I would have done too. Yeah. But did you guys have any problems with those saddles creating sores and stuff? Like, no?
No, not at all. No.
Is that because you weren't pedaling because you had an e-assist?
Yeah.
I'm fucking with you
right now. Yeah, I know. No, so I was more worried about I didn't have a lot of cycling kit because I'm not, I just got my first real bike I got during COVID,
Yep.
Probably at the beginning before all the bikes ran out, but I didn't have a lot of kit. So kind of at the last minute, Chantal, we ordered a bunch of cheap Chinese cycling kit right before we left. So I wasn't sure that the padding was going to be good or that these things weren't going to rip apart. While I was riding. Yes. When I saw the seat, I was like, well, this might be okay. Cause I don't know how good this padding is in my seat, my shorts.
Did you use Cami cream?
No, I don't use the
chamois butter.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. I was slathering it on.
No, I don't use it.
Really?
No, I don't really have problems.
Okay.
No chafing there. Yeah. I don't understand it. Yeah. I've never rode a bike without the chamois butter. I don't even know what it's like.
We did the GR20. I didn't get a blister. I didn't get a. No,
you just that does that's just like that your skin. Does,
my
doesn't,
skin must be. Pretty,
you're like a hobbit or something. Your skin's apparently. Like super dry.
Well, that's what that hiking trip felt like. You know,
for the record, Matt's like six. What are you? 6'2", 6'3"?
6'2".
6'2". Yeah. Yeah, he's not a hobbit. Is that another awkward science?
I was just thinking about him being a hobbit. Wondering if that could explain a few things.
Peter Jackson, some like trick camera angles we could do.
Yeah, what's next? Is New Zealand next? Have you guys done New Zealand yet?
That'd be a cool
backroads trip to do.
I think that would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're thinking about Croatia maybe for our next cycling trip.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. So we can see some of the country.
Yeah.
It's a great way to see the countryside. I think Tuscany would be another place that would be an awesome cycling trip. You know, we visited Tuscany a couple times, but I think if you were on a bike, you'd have more time to really take in the beauty around you.
Mm-hmm. You think it's safe in Croatia right now? What do you think?
Well, I think Russia's distracted.
not from Russia. I'm not worried about Russia. I'm just thinking back a few years. You know, I was an Albanian translator, right? And things got a little crazy in that region for a minute.
We've got a lot of friends that have been traveling there. But
Croatia is beautiful. Oh, my God. Yeah. The beaches, especially the coastline, just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm excited to get
there. Well, so they filmed Game of Thrones, you know, like I think the King's Landing is Dubrovnik.
Really?
Right.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So
it's weird stuff.
So yeah, he does know
a lot of reason.
A lot of stuff.
I love those books. The TV show is okay, but I love the books. I'd love to go there and just kind of
just check it out.
Yeah.
Huh. Around.
So going back to the Portugal trip, if I may.
Okay. Wait. This is interesting because we're getting varying feedback.
Yes.
There's a couple people have told us we got to bring the conversation back to the topic all the time. Mm-hmm. There's a couple people told us, don't do that. That's stupid. So we have and it's about 50-50 of what we've heard. So we're not sure what to do.
Yeah, we're torn.
We'll talk about the bike trip half the time. We'll talk about other nonsense. Yeah,
there's your 50-50.
There's your 50-50. All right, go ahead. Thanks for bringing us back.
Yeah, no, but I was curious what your trail was. Like how many miles per day, kind of like the details of the actual, the biking trip. I keep seeing about the way of St. James, is it, and the pilgrims, how mountainous part of that is.
We didn't do that part. That's a different, that pilgrimage is that's the one that goes from San Sebastian to, I don't remember where the other side of it is, but.
Oh, you stumped him.
Yeah, we didn't do that.
Yes.
Finally. Potatoes didn't get him, but the pilgrimage did.
So, as Chantal was saying earlier, there was a morning ride every day and then an optional afternoon ride. So in the mornings, I think we did 25 or 30 miles. Mm-hmm. Then in the afternoon, it really varied pretty dramatically. But
varied from 10 miles to 100
miles? 10 to
20. 10 to 20, okay.
You could do up to 75 miles.
A day.
So there were,
per day.
Not every day, but they had it. Basically, you could pick your rides. You just had to let them know in the morning. Do I want to do the 30 mile today, which was just the morning? Do I want to do a 50? Do I want to do a 65 or 75? And then they'd have routes.
Okay.
And they were never out and back except for one day. I think we did one out and back ride. They were always loops. So you were seeing something new the whole time.
Right.
But they were, like I said, very organized and they had, what were those things? Wahoos? Yahoos?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how they told us, where to go. So in the morning we'd have a meetup and actually it was really fun. I think it was the first morning Eduardo got out his first aid kit and he basically recreated the map on the ground using Band-Aid packages and,
That would be Chantel. That would be Chantel pouring
cans
another
of soda.
Just like the football quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the Sandlot football thing. Yeah, right, exactly.
Very cool.
That was really fun. So he did that the first day. And then your bike was equipped with a, what did you say? It was a Wahoo. I can't remember what the
GPS
brand was.
Of some sort.
A little GPS thing. And they would. Wahoo. Yeah, it could be. Probably it. So they loaded the map for each day into the device. So you had a map. It told you when to turn left or right. It was probably not as nice as your phone, but it was workable.
It is Wahoo. That's a well-known bike computer, and they have all kinds of equipment.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We did get lost one day, and the Wahoos they didn't sync somehow, and they had to give us paper maps. We went old school. Which resulted in a number of people getting lost. It turns out a lot of people don't know how to use a paper map anymore. One of the lost arts.
Magellan, you have a nickname.
I do
you?
Have a nickname. Yes. That's exactly my problem.
We arrived.
You guys find that you guys made
we
it.
We arrived.
But y'all had your phones, right? Don't your phones work in Portugal?
You never really knew where you were going.
What?
Yeah, that was the problem. Is that it's not like, you just plug in the destination into Google Maps and it takes you there. Oh, you have a specific route that's back roads. It's not the fastest or shortest way.
So they didn't have waypoints or anything that you could load or whatever into Google Maps.
Exactly.
No, but we found it that day. At the end of each segment, the support van would be waiting there with a little step stool, some snacks in baskets on the step stool, and then a cooler full of beer. So we never missed an opportunity
to drink.
Hit the cooler.
Hydrate. It's hydration.
Hydration
is very
important. What are the two Portuguese beers you guys were telling us earlier? What are they called?
Superbach and Sagres.
Sagres. So like, what would they be similar to? Like, what kind of beer is that?
It's like they're pilsners.
Pilsners. Yeah. Okay, so real light.
Yeah, they're lagers. Yeah, they're really, they're good. I actually kind of miss. I thought, you know, there's something about drinking some sort of whatever alcohol it is. When you drink it where it's made, the country it's from, it always tastes better. It just fits better there.
Even if it's not great, it's still better there.
Totally.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So true.
You say even bread and butter tastes better at the neighbors. old farmer's saying.
So, there you go, man. There you go.
That's good. Were we still talking about that? Because I had a couple questions about the trail. So you mentioned history in that. Did you get to see any castles?
Not a lot of castles.
Actually, on the ride itself, no.
Okay.
But we did, after the trip, go to, what was the?
Guimarães or Braga? Which one was it at?
Braga. I think it was Braga.
And in Lisbon.
So it had King Alfredo's. I think it was Alfredo. It was the guy that, so
King, like the sauce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Gotcha. Right. Okay.
So cool. You know,
is Alfredo sauce from Portugal as well? Just
so you know, the Iberian Peninsula was controlled by the Moors, mm-hmm. right? And then there was the kind of the
for years
the Christians, you know, came back and tried to mm-hmm. get it back. Well, Portugal's the first part of the Iberian Peninsula to recover its independence.
Yep.
But at the same time, they declared independence from Spain. So that's how it became its own thing. So we were at this guy, the castle where that guy, you know, I think it was Alfredo, the knight that had declared himself king. And when they split off, the castle was really cool. It had the kind of that Middle Eastern style to it.
Oh, did it
so,
really?
Yeah. So that the, you know, and then when you go to, you know, Madrid, of course, that's a really good one because there's the Middle Eastern architectural style, the old mm-hmm. buildings, but that was cool.
Another thing that you mentioned, the Iberian Peninsula, and for the equine listeners, horses for the lay people.
Wait, you could just say for Josh.
For Josh.
You could just say for Josh. You don't have to say for the lay people.
The Iberian Peninsula, as you probably well know, is where a lot of the older domesticated horses have come from, the best horses. The Lusitano, and then in Spain, the Andalusian. And I mean, this is the best horses in the world. Wow. Did you see any horses over there?
You know, no.
Nothing memorable. No, we saw some donkeys.
Is that the same kind of donkeys you see like right across the border in Mexico? Or is that a different?
As fast as horses are, they really can't keep up with the electric bicycle.
Yeah, all right. That's what it was. All right.
All right. Okay, so I got no experience on electric bicycles. How did that work? Like, did you guys have any battery problems? Did it last the whole ride? Everything worked?
We're a little competitive, and maybe we had a little shame about having the e-bikes in the first place.
So, I can tell.
Yeah. So like I did not use the assist at all in the mornings.
Okay.
And the bike's heavy. Like the bike probably weighs 80 pounds.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's not like a light bike. I was looking at that.
It wasn't. Those were the new ones. They were lighter.
Backroads has its own custom. So you can bring your bike.
What kind of bike was it, by the way?
It was custom. So you could bring your own bike if you wanted, but Backroads has these bikes manufactured for them.
For Backroads.
Wow.
Do you know who? You probably don't know who. We're going to figure this out. Do you know who?
You're talking to the wrong people.
Yeah. Okay. I should have known that. Yep.
So
how many gears do you know that?
It was 7.
1x7. Okay.
Yeah. 1x7. So they had the e-bikes that and I don't know what they have, the touring bikes. I don't know what those were like. We didn't have them. So we had our e-bikes.
The other five titanium, people had the touring bikes.
Okay. Titanium, they didn't bring their frame. Own bikes. Okay. Titanium frame.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. It was heavy. And it had
titanium would not be heavy.
No.
Just for the record. Light.
Well, it was heavier than my carbon fiber.
Maybe.
Like,
well, just, because they had
but
the that's, engine,
but
the
so
motor.
It's like carbon fiber, titanium, aluminum, steel.
Okay. Well, this was titanium.
Yeah.
And it had the Bosch powertrain. So it was basically, you know, the batteries, like a bolt on sort of thing.
Yeah. Kind of goes where like the water bottle cage would normally
exactly,
go.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So, and as I said, I didn't really use it in the morning. In order to use the assist, you have to pedal, right? Uh-huh. I don't know this.
Is that true? So you can't
You can't just turn it on. It's not a moped.
Okay.
It's assist. It's not. It's a propulsion system. Okay. And they're four, I think they're like four power settings.
Turbo was my favorite.
Turbo was nice.
Turbo.
I got to be honest. There were a couple of times, end of the day, it was a really long ride, and you get to the very end, and it's like a 7% grade or 10% grade, and you're looking at it like, okay, I got to put this on turbo. Mm-hmm. And you can't actually pedal your feet fast enough to keep up with how much boost that is.
So it is a moped.
It won't go anywhere unless you're pedaling.
So you can just barely be pedaling, but it's actually moving faster than your feet are moving.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
As much crap as you give for the e-bikes, everyone who has experienced them and they get off, they're like, this is awesome. I could get used to this.
That's what I came away from it with that impression. I'm like, I could use one of these at home.
Yeah.
Although I cycle for fitness. I love to be outside too, but if I had to use this for commuting to work or something, I would be first in line to get an e-bike. They're terrific. Yeah. Amazing.
And it made our trip enjoyable.
Yeah. Right? So we were still a vacation, even though there is a sense of adventure.
But we kind of felt, the shame quite a bit.
Oh, did you?
Quite a bit of shame.
From yourselves or from those around you? Or
I think both. I think we went into it and we felt that we'd failed somehow, that we had to use the e-assist. But then by the end of the trip, I got kind of obnoxious about it. I'm going to be honest.
So you have to put perspective. Like, we were going to do this a year prior. COVID happens. So I'm trained up. I got the bike. I'm riding every day.
Yep.
I'm doing the Peloton. I'm weight training.
Trained the year
before. I was ready to go a year before. And then we delayed it for a year. So then I was a little lazy. So I was not as well prepared. That's why we ended up with the e-bikes. Oh. But I'm so glad we did, because it really did allow us to extend every day, be able to wake up the next day refreshed. You weren't exhausted from the prior day's ride. You still got a good workout, though.
We still burn between 1,800 and 2,500 calories a day. Yeah,
so if you do another one, when you do another one, will you do an e-bike again?
Depends on the terrain. If it's the topography.
Yeah. Wow, that's a big word. I got to look that shit up?
I heard you. I heard you not knowing what topography or geography meant in the last podcast.
Is that true? I don't think that's true. I know what that word is.
It's for correct. Christ's sakes.
He didn't know what a brandy old fashioned was. So there are some listeners out there who, next time they see you, Josh, are going to bring you multiple brandy old fashions as well.
That's your aunt's favorite drink.
It is my aunt's.
It's brandy.
I've become a little bit of an expert when she comes to our house and I have to make it.
She has the brandy Manhattan.
Oh, I guess you're right.
So isn't brandy another wine product? Isn't it
it's a sweeter liqueur?
So where does brandy come from? Like, how's it? Come on, you're the history guy.
It's a fortified wine.
Yeah.
It's a brandy wine.
So it's like port.
Yeah. Similar.
Interesting. Yep. Anyways, topography. So like what? If it's 5,000 feet a day, you're good. 8,000 feet's too much. Or what would your limit be?
I think if it was 3,500 feet a day on a 5-day trip, so that we knew that we could actually finish the afternoon.
Sustain.
Right. But anything above that, on vacation, like if that was my job, I'd figure out a way to do it. Right. If I was a guide for a bike company, I'm in the process of evaluating different careers.
So you're thinking about being a guide for a bike company?
Never know. Everything's on the table.
Yep.
So, I think it was, for us, we had no regrets, even though we really did feel embarrassed about it going into it. But I will tell you, so as I have to talk, I know Matt's like, don't mention these people's names, but the people, because they were so exclusive, there were a couple of them that tried to venture into our group of three, two of the women who were super nice, but they got kind of scorned by the other group.
Shunned,
like, yeah. Yeah. They were like, you need to hang out with us. We're all together. So on like the fifth day, there was like the end of the day and there was this hill. And I saw them.
And you put it in turbo.
I put it in turbo and I passed them all up. They were all like dying going up this hill.
That was the obnoxious part?
That was that. Yeah. I'm not proud, but kind of am.
Good for you.
But there might have been a little karma involved too, because we get to the top and there's a turn. And we noticed where we were supposed to turn off. Very steep. Halfway up the hill, we turn. Well, one of the individuals didn't see the turns.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
He went an extra 10 miles.
He was not happy.
He was not happy about it.
Oh, dude, I've got a funny story about missing a turn. Can I tell that story?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lacey and I were doing a race up in northern Arizona called the Tour of the White Mountains. This was like maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It was before kids, so it must have been like 15 years ago. And I was in like third place. Brad Knox, who we'll have on the podcast later, he was like ahead of me in second place. And I totally missed the turn. And I took like 50 people with me.
Magellan.
Yeah. Magellan. Supposed to be a 35 mile ride. Like 50 miles into the ride, we're
like, thought the Rocky Mountains.
We don't know where we're at.
Rockier than this.
And Lacey was, Lacey caught up and she was, and now Lacey kicks my ass, but at the time I was faster than her, but,
those were the good old days.
That's good old days. Yeah. Yeah. That was like 60 pounds ago or something like that. But, she had that situation where her body depleted itself of all like electrolytes and her muscle seized and she fell on the ground and like I'm making like people like listeners cannot
That's
hear
the dangerous.
It's not good, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we called the SAG, like the rescue guys, and they came out and found us and they gave her a salt pill. Like she was literally on the ground, like curled up, her hands were curled up, her legs were curled up, she couldn't move. She was like, it was really painful. The SAG guys came out and they gave her like some salt pills, and within like 5 minutes she was up and walking around and fine.
Wow.
It was really interesting how quickly your body can like absorb and create that. So anyways, just another story about how I got the name Magellan.
Yeah. We've been pretty fortunate because we have not really sustained any cycling injuries.
Oh man. I'm knocking on wood for you guys.
Yeah. I will say that, I did have a weird experience when I finished El Tour Tucson.
Okay.
The first time.
The first and only.
Oh, first and only. Okay. One and done. Yes.
It's kind of how I am. Check it. Let's move on to the next adventure. So, I really just wanted that race to be over. I stopped once.
Most people do want that race to be over, by the way.
I stopped once at the 70-mile marker, and mostly because the iPod, remember those little things?
What year did you do it? It
was 10 years ago.
iPods.
2012.
MP3 players.
2012. Did you happen to see any guys in gorilla suits?
No, not that I remember, okay. But like, I think I would.
Yeah.
So, I remember the clip-on little iPod thing?
Oh, yes, of
I had
course. That.
Matt had just gotten a brand new one. It was super exciting, and I took it with me because it was light. So I brought it, and it flew off.
Oh, she lost your iPod?
She destroyed it.
Oh, my God.
It was a week old. Yeah.
Did she recovered it and brought it back all in pieces?
She brought it back. The screen was destroyed. Yeah,
it works still.
It's no longer waterproof.
Yeah. I stopped there. I went to the porta-potties, refilled my water, and then I went straight all the way through. I never like stopped once, never rode with people.
At 70. Took a little break and then back, kept going on the
correct.
Trail.
Yep. And so I finished the race and I'm like, okay. So first of all, they say it's 100 miles, but it was 112. So I was kind of pissed off the last 12 miles.
By the way, that's like a normal thing off. In cycling. They always advertise the race to be way less than it actually is. That's a typical thing in cycling.
Huh. So every like the last 12 miles, and I've run a bunch of half marathons, and so I like know the distance. I like track it the whole way. It's 13.1. It's always 13.1, right? I was like so mad those last 12 miles. So I'm like, it's building in me. I'm like, when is this race over? When is it over? And I get across the finish line. I'm supposed to feel like awesome. I take off my glasses and I realize I can't see out my left eye.
Oh,
I had
what?
To go to the tent. Yeah. I had some sort of thing. They called it an abrasion on your, so like dust or dirt got in my eye. And I never noticed because I was so focused on finishing that darn race. The fact that I never realized I was blind in my left eye for like, God knows how
depth
long.
Depth perception and everything goes away.
So it was just your left eye?
Yeah. And they rinsed it out and then they're like, it'll be fine in 24 hours within the next 24 hours.
Did it hurt?
No, it felt like dry. Like my left, but it looked gray. Like you looked out. It was the weirdest feeling. I'm like, I'm going blind from this race. Yeah, so many bad decisions were made.
Like your eye looked gray. If I was looking at your eye, it would look gray. Or when you looked out.
When I looked out.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can't believe it didn't affect me. But I think I was just so
focused
on finishing that race.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I just wanted to put it behind me. Put that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So isn't this a podcast about mountain biking?
Well, it's well, we did talk about the Tour of the White Mountains, so we got that. We got a little mountain biking in there. It's cycling in general. I was going to ask you, man, would you mountain bike?
I would. I've done it a couple of times. I borrowed friends' bikes.
Yeah.
Did a couple of times with 29ers, and that was interesting. It was sort of like driving a tractor trailer, you had to kind of plan ahead the turn. I felt like,
because
it's not as responsive, I guess. But, but I did Honeybee Canyon a year or two ago.
That's
a
fun trail.
I really loved it. Seeing the petroglyphs and it was fun.
Yeah,
and it wasn't a lot of climbing, so it was mostly just terrain.
Yeah, I mean, Honeybee's like what, 400 or 500 feet of climbing to in the, like the first 10 miles, and then it's all downhill back from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's not a tough ride.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was really hot that day, but you know, we live in the desert, so that's the way it is. But I loved it. I'd do it again.
Well, if you ever want, you're welcome. My bike would fit you.
I saw your bike on Facebook, and I was gonna like contact you, and then
the one I sold.
Yeah,
yeah, that's gone. But my bike that I have now would fit you. And if you ever want to take it out, you're welcome to, to take it on any time, man.
Then he'd have to ride by himself.
I could ride with Lacey. You
can ride, nobody can ride with Lacey.
That's amazing.
We got a whole group of people that ride, man. We can find people to ride with you if you want to go for a ride.
You rode this morning already with a group, didn't you?
I did. We went and rode this morning, yep. And Dan fell again, Punk Rock Dan.
What is with him?
I don't know, man.
Maybe you should stick to the magic.
No, he's really fit. Like, if you ever
you can tell he's fit.
You can tell he's fit. Like, I've seen him. This sounds weird. I've seen him with his shirt off. Happened to be like changing. Yeah, Baywatch. Yeah, it's whatever. He's cut. You wouldn't know it. He's like cut, like a bodybuilder cut.
Wow.
But like lean.
He's very lean.
He's very lean. You know, he was a 1-star admiral, right? So like they build that into their routine, right? That's just part of his daily routine. Is
not vacuuming his office, but
yeah,
that's never part of it. That's my joke with
Dan. Yeah. I told him when I went to his house, I was like, Chantel was telling me about your office and how many interesting things you had there. I think was the way I phrased it. But no, he's just getting into it, and he's really fit and he's really fast, but he doesn't have the bike handling skills yet. And so when you mix like the fitness without the bike handling skills, and his problem is it's the same as like any new rider, right? He just doesn't stand up. So on a mountain bike, it's important to stand up so you can get bike body separation. And so you can move your center of gravity and you can navigate around stuff. And, and he, you know, he doesn't do that. He sits down, and so shit takes him out.
That sounds like giving a 16-year-old a powerful, like a Mustang or something.
That's exactly that's what we've done with Dan.
He'll get it.
He will absolutely get it. My brother-in-law, the notorious Chad, gives me all kinds of grief about taking Dan to where we take him. He's like, you can't take him there. I'm like, listen, he would come on his own. It's better that we're with him.
Here's the weird
part. We can, like, help him if he gets hurt.
I don't think he used to crash until he got his new bike. He was.
Oh, that's a good point.
So
the Walmart bike was better.
Yes, he had a full suspension Walmart bike.
You've listened to our previous podcast,
and he would go down the gnarliest stuff and survive.
I think he crashed. We should ask him.
I don't know. I would like to ask him.
Yeah.
Well, a group of men together, is it like the decision on where you go at the lowest common denominator? Like the guy with the worst decision, like the idea, everybody's like, yeah, let's do it.
Pretty much.
No, it's me.
There you go.
So yes, it is the lowest common denominator always, right? No, it's me that's making it. Yes. I think about Dan and I just like getting people into the sport. And so
you got me into the sport.
Yeah,
during COVID. He set up a Frankenstein bike, which I loved. And so he got me into mountain biking.
Did you road cycle before?
So my father-in-law has a 1980s Cannondale.
Wow.
He set it up for me. And I clipped in, or clipless, whatever you guys call it. I fell multiple times and almost got hit by cars. And I'm like, this is not a good experience for me at all. So then I hung it up for 2 years. And then Josh said, we should go ride mountain bike sometime. And he put together that bike for me, and I love it.
If you can't feel it, I'm trying to suck you in right now.
Has it got a dropper? Like, it's your bike?
So that's one of the enhancements I made to the bike a couple of months ago, and it's been game changer. I've gone over the bars, and at that point, I said I need to get a lower center of gravity, and it's helps a lot.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I'm sucking you in, man.
I mean,
he's already there for the sucking.
He's already there for the sucking. No. I'm out. I'm out.
Matt, how many miles do you ride like normally on the spin or on the roadie?
I'd go by time on the Peloton. Okay. So I'd take like a 30-minute, hour-long class, whatever. I'm not even sure how many miles. Probably 25 or something on that.
Okay.
But when we go out on the road, we'll do like the big loop.
Yeah, 60 miles.
We'll do 60 miles.
Yeah.
Have you guys, I had the hell of a time like on the south side where I keep getting flat tires from all the debris.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the, this is crazy.
I had a period like that. It just seemed like every time I went out.
You just there's so much crap. I actually switched to tubeless tires on my road bike.
How do you like those?
I love it. It's like, you got to do it. It's awesome. And I have a recommendation for wheels if you go tubeless. I love the Shimano Altegra. Well, for the price, they're like $400. They're awesome.
I'm that's my big gear.
Yeah, I think that's
my shifters.
Yeah. 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 Isn't that the Altegra? Yeah, yeah, Altegra. That's, yeah, so they have a complete Grupo, which includes the wheel sets and everything, right? So it depends if you have rim brakes or disc brakes on your bike. Do you know?
We have disc. Yeah. I have disc anyway.
Okay. He says I have disc. That's what I got.
Is there a big disc on your tire? On your wheel?
I do know how to change my tire.
On the bike or car?
On my bike.
Oh.
I can change it. And I've changed other people's that are stranded on the side.
Well, that's nice. Awesome.
And I always carry extra tubes and the extra CO2 or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very good Samaritan.
That's awesome. I feel like that's part of my gig on the bike. Like, are you okay? Do you need help?
Well, that's you always. Oh, you're mama. Mama's always looking after everybody, right? Mama to swags. Make sure everybody's okay.
That's right.
Yeah. But I do. Our lube here is the best. So much fun for us.
Your lube here is the best?
The lube. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Where are you going? Is this back to the mat?
Sausage
to lube. To Matt getting shocked and stuff going down his leg. Hey,
so bizarre. I don't even know how you're going to summarize this. Poor Mike keeps trying to bring us back.
Mike's like, dude, you're not listening to the feedback at all here.
Before the podcast, my wife said, all right, when you go over there, make sure you give my feedback, which is,
please keep Josh on track.
If you go off track, but not for too long. That was what I was supposed to relay.
I do think, in a nutshell, we're a big fan of the back road strips. Just expectation setting for people. Okay. It's going to be expensive. It will all be taken care of for you. And you may end up with some weirdos, but it gives you a good story later.
Yeah. Like, would you recommend that people like try to get a big enough group so they can get a whole, like sell out?
You can do private groups with them. You can just book it as a private group.
Yeah. I think that would be the way. So like most of our listeners don't have the means to do that. So they'll probably try to not.
No, I think you can put that, if you plan that out far enough and you throw it out there, like it's an amazing, I mean, the Douro River Valley, it was gorgeous. So I'd say like anybody listening should just put that on like a 24-month plan, right? See how many people you can get. Mm-hmm. I bet you can get a fun group of riders.
Is there any final thoughts you guys have? Anything you want to relate to our listeners about the trip?
Related to cycling or?
Yeah, man. Just anything. Just completely open.
Is this where Rogan starts talking about DMT?
Yes.
If that's what you're into, the floor.
I've never done any of that. So, I do think that these organized trips are a lot of fun. But you don't know what you don't know about a new country. So you take their knowledge and experience. They actually go out and ride the course. You know, Eduardo actually designed this course. He was our guide on the trip. So he spent a month, you know, he knows the country like the back of his hand already. He loves Portugal. He's from Portugal, but he went out and created these routes, tested them with Ricardo. It was really, really hard to replicate on your own.
So like a self-guided tour. You just couldn't quite.
You couldn't do that.
Yeah. Couldn't do it.
Interesting. Yeah.
And the food, well, the food wasn't awesome, but the food was awesome for the place, right?
The food was good. We had a one-star Michelin restaurant was one night.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Well, Michelin is a car tire.
Gosh. You got another 30 minutes?
No. Actually, I'm playing dumb. I know what a Michelin is, but can you explain just briefly what it is?
Of course, So Michelin is a tire company, and they created this tour, this guide, sort of part of their marketing plan. They created a guide like AAA, and they rated restaurants. And well, now most of them are in Europe, I guess, but to get a Michelin star or two stars is a
big deal.
Honor for a restaurant, really hard to achieve. So we were fortunate to have a meal at one of those, at a one-star restaurant. And it was in, that was not Vidago. That was Samarish. Totally butchering the
Samarish. By the way, the Portuguese language is the hardest language I've ever heard.
Really?
Oh, it's hard.
Have you been to Wales?
It's like a cross between.
You've been to Wales?
It's like Czech. It's like Czech and Spanish kind of mashed together.
Mm. Okay.
I'm not a linguist like you, but, Yeah. And we just don't have any exposure to it. We hear Spanish around here or English, but
nothing is pronounced like it looks, like not even close. I speak French. And so I'm thinking like, oh, it's a Latin romantic language. Yeah, it's going to be fine. No,
not so much.
Oh. No, it's tough. It's tough. But, you know, my final thoughts, since that's where we started, would be, you know, book an adventure.
Just do it.
Just do it. Nice. Make a plan.
Just do it. YOLO. That's what I keep telling Mike.
Yeah, YOLO. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, you won't regret it. It's great memories for us.
Yeah. Hey, we really appreciate you guys coming out and talking to us today.
Thanks. I mean, I don't I think I'd come back just to hang out. Mean, can we talk on these microphones more often?
You're more than welcome. So fun, please come on anytime you want to. Thank you guys so much. You guys have a great day. We're going to get some Detroit style pizza in a little bit.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
It'll be good.
Right. Is Dave Portnoy coming over to check on it?
Who's that?
Dave Portnoy.
I don't know who that is. This is
Barstool.
No, you got me.
Barstool Sports.
We'll talk about this off the air.
All right. Here we go. Take care, guys.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?